do want to thank the veterans today. And that's the message that we're going to look at today. Was we're talking about Veterans Day and courage. Veterans Day and courage. Most of you probably know that today, on November the 11th, we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the signing of the armistice in World War I. And to me, world wars are hard to understand. I mean, why there could be that much hatred and that much anger, you know, that would come out where people go to blows. But in a perfect world, you know, we would all get along. But the fact is, we don't live in a perfect world, do we? You know, we live in a world that is broken, and it has evil people in it. And sometimes them evil people try to inflict pain and suffering on the innocent. And, you know, that's why we need the military. We need the military to protect our nation. That's our prime directive. But also, we also do things to help other people when they're in a time of need. And that's why we need brave men and women to answer the call when they put on that uniform. Now, that's how important. Now, the main point I want us to see, I want us to think about this. What makes some people run in when other people run out? What makes some people run into a situation to try to help out when other people are running away from that situation? And I think it's important that we process that. Scripture I want to look at today is found in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people the possession of the land which I have swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Being a soldier can have some real dangerous times. I know that, and this is my writing. But the one thing that many don't is that what I see is that they're a brotherhood. And that brotherhood knows that the person to the left and the person to the right of them will have their back. And I think the church can really learn some things from that. And as we look at this passage here of Joshua and seeing what God had called him to do, he knew that he needed people on his side. And I believe that there's people here today that maybe are needing a little courage in their life to be able to deal with some situations and process some information, some things that are going against them. And I know that God can be there because, you know, courage really is the ability to do something that frightens you. And courage is a choice to face your fears. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the word and anointing that's on it to break every yoke of bondage. Lord, I thank you. You've called Joshua to be very courageous. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will be very courageous today. And in our life, Lord, as we live and glorify you. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we see the idea of courage and what it means. So courage is really running in when others run out. You know, Joshua, just a little briefly about him. He was an assistant to Moses. Moses was the man of God. Moses went to the mountain. Moses got the information. Moses brought the information down. And Joshua, for the most part, was his assistant. He was able to observe Moses, do all these things, but he never really got to do that sort of stuff. Matter of fact, he would guard the tent sometimes and things like that. But, you know, primarily then, you know, we know Moses made a mistake and he hit the rock when he shouldn't have. And so God says, "You can't go in the promised land because you disobeyed me." Even all the good things he'd done, you know, God just told him what to do and he didn't do it right. So now there comes Joshua. Now, a little bit about Joshua, you probably know him. He was one of the first 12 that went into the promised land. Him and Caleb gave a good report. So Joshua had a lot of good characteristics in his life where he could see how big his God was and what God could do when others, on the other hand, could not. But now that Moses was gone, it was like a million people plus. Not really military savvy for the most part. And he was going to go in and he was going to face some people that were bigger than he was and that had more people than he did. And they were already rooted in behind maybe, you know, fortifications and things like this. So God had called him to do something frightening because really, I don't know about you if you found this out, how many knows there's a difference between the number one man and the number two man? The number two man can enjoy all the luxuries of being able to give good ideas and things like this, but if it goes wrong, number one has to take the fall, right? Now, granted, number one's going to get most of the cred for doing the job, but, you know, there's a lot of grace and a lot of easiness that comes along with being number two. Well, now Joshua had been promoted. Just like some of you maybe have been promoted at work, or maybe, you know, how many knows what it's like to be a parent for the first time? How maybe scary that is. And all of a sudden now it's one thing to take care of yourself, but then now you have to take care of somebody else, and being able to deal with things and process information and being able to take care of this young little person that doesn't speak English yet. You know what I'm saying? They just kind of have a mind of their own. And so there's a lot of things in life that are kind of scary sometimes that you and I are thrown into. Maybe you have information, maybe you've seen something, and maybe you have to come forward. Maybe you have to face a friend that is maybe doing something wrong, and you're afraid of losing that friendship if you tell them the truth. But you got to have courage sometimes. You have to have courage to step up and to be able to do what needs to be done. And that's really what Joshua did. And I don't know about you, but, you know, it's one thing if God told me to be courageous. But, you know, then the next little verse there, he says, Joshua, you need to be very courageous. So that tells me that it's going to be a fairly hard job. You know, something that needs to be done. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, when God told Joshua that he's the one who's going to take him into the possession, mainly it's through his leadership and all the things that are done, they're going to go in and conquer this land. He was going to be the head general. Now, on TV and cinema, there's been a lot of war movies out, haven't they? And usually they make the leaders out to be fearless, right? You know, General Patton, I don't remember that movie. That guy was just tough. And, you know, there's different ones, you know, and all these things go in there. And, you know, and then they just make the right decisions. They do the right thing. They know what to do. But the truth is, we all get afraid. So if you're afraid sometimes in your life, you know, don't think that you have something wrong. It's okay to be afraid sometimes. But it's how you deal with that fear. And we have to face that fear. And I don't want to, I never got permission to say this, but Jason left the room so I can tell. Hopefully Scarlett won't rat me out, or Kinnick. But I remember Jason used to be scared of heights. I don't know if he is anymore. You know, but we were putting a new roof on. It's kind of ironic that, you know, two people in the church own church buildings, you know, here in town. They're living in them now. So I think that's kind of neat. But anyway, we had that church, and then the roof was bad when we got it, so we put a new roof on it. I remember Jason wanted to face his fear. So he got up on that roof. I mean, it was a little dicey in the beginning, you know, but he got his roof legs under him for a while. And it was a 6-12 pitch, so it's fairly steep. But I remember that day when I says, are you sure you want to go up the ladder? You know, I mean, you know, we don't want you to get hurt. You know, a lot of paperwork, you know, has, you know. But, you know, he went up there, and see, that sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to face our fears. We have to just meet them head on. And Joshua, he had to have courage to face something that was very hard to deal with. Now, what we're doing today is we're honoring soldiers. Joshua was a soldier, and he was a man of God. And there's a lot of courage that it takes to be a soldier. And how important it is that we, you know, honor them for the service they've done. And basically what I see as a soldier is somebody that does something that we don't really want to do ourselves, right? I mean, they'll be faithful, they'll go in, they have to deal with terrible situations, deal with enemies who are very cutthroat and evil, shall we say. So they're going in there and they're fixing a problem that most of us don't want to have to deal with. And the good thing about soldiers is that they take the fight to the enemy, because we don't really want to fight here, although it does come to our soil sometimes. But for the most part, the soldiers take the fight to them, so that you and I can have the luxury of living in freedom in this country. Now, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is acting on the premise that there is something more important than fear. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of movies I've, you know, seen. I haven't seen a lot of them, but, you know, one movie that just expanded my mind more than I really wanted was Saving Private Ryan. Many of you have seen that landing on the beach and what all that entailed. I don't know about you, but some people probably didn't want to get out of that boat. Them boats, right? They didn't want to get out of the boat, but they did anyway. They went out and they had to face the enemy. and deal with it. And sometimes we have to go out and we face the enemy. Like I mentioned, today is November the 11th. At 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month, 100 years ago, they signed the armistice with Germany, which halted the war in the European theater. And that's why we celebrate Veterans Day on November the 11th. Now, there's many stories of bravery on the battlefield, and it's hard to, you know, I couldn't read them all. And I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of a couple here. One was back in World War II. There was a lot of them from World War I. What amazed me is there was a lot of people that went to war back then. Some of them were 16 years old. I don't know what you were doing when you were 16, or maybe you're not 16 yet. But could you imagine going over and getting in a war and having to deal with all the situations that they did? Those men were men. It was a great generation, and we could admire that generation. But the first story I want to tell today is about World War II, and many of you have probably seen the movie, I have not, Hacksaw Ridge. I think it came out a few years ago. And it talks about Private Desmond Doss, and he walked into the bloodiest battle of World War II in the Pacific Theater. He was a devout Seventh-day Adventist. And he was called a conscientious objector, meaning he didn't want to pick up a gun, and he never did. Something happened to him in his childhood. I read brief stories on different things, but his father did something and had a gun, and the boy, got the gun away from the father. And anyway, when mom told him to put the gun away, and he said, "I never want to touch a gun again, and he didn't, to my knowledge. Now, what happened, though, was that they was on this cliff. It had a 400-foot cliff fortified with deadly network of Japanese machine guns surrounding them. And they were pinned down, and many men were hurt and getting shot. And what he did as a medic, that he went over, and he would, under heavy gunfire, and he would take them over to the edge of the cliff, and then he would lower them down to other medics, all under fire. And he just faithfully did that, and he saved some say anywhere from 50 to 100 people, so they average it out at 75. But all under gunfire, never had a gun. There's testimony saying that the Japanese, after the fact, said that he was in our sights, and every time we went to pull the trigger, the gun jammed. So God was on his side. And every time he lowered somebody down to safety, he would thank God, take time, just thank God that I saved this life. And the fact is, then, he was the first Medal of Honor recipient that was a conscientious objector, meaning they'd never picked up a gun, but they won the Medal of Honor. And that's a powerful thing. And he was over there, and for whatever reason, they were mean to him. They tried to get him out of the outfit because they called him names and different things to get him out of there because he wouldn't pick up a gun. They thought he was a chicken, but come to find out, he was the bravest man of them all. I don't know about you, but going into a gunfight without a gun, that's pretty tough, you know. I don't know what he felt about knives, but still, you take a knife to a gunfight, that ain't a good thing, right? We've always heard that. All right, now the second one I just want to mention today is Dakota Meyer. That's more recent. Dakota Meyer was in the Iraq-Afghanistan theater, and on September the 8th in 2009, and I'm not going to try to pronounce these names, but he was a Marine, and there was three Marines and one Navy corpsman that were not missing, and they were friends of his. So he chose to go back in under enemy fire to save and look for his comrades and try to save them. Well, he found them, but they was already dead, and their bodies had been stripped of their uniform and their weapons were taken. So, and then there was a Taliban guy wanting to steal their bodies to take them, and do whatever, they was going to do. But he entered into hand-to-hand combat with this Taliban guy, and ended up, I know it's a little gross, but he killed him with a rock in hand-to-hand combat. And then he enlisted some other people, and they took the bodies back. And in so doing, he saved, I don't know how many other, I think they were other people of that nation who were peaceful people. They saved them, as well as some other people. He offered fire so that other people could escape. And then when he got back, or he was nominated for the Medal of Honor, and he was the youngest man in 38 years that was alive, because most people don't get the Medal of Honor if you're alive. Usually have to do it another way, and that's the ultimate price. But then he was the youngest man to get that. So those are just a little bit about courage under fire and what happens, you know, when we are in a situation. Now you may say, I'm never going to go to war, and many of us probably won't, unless the war comes here and something has to change then. But there's a lot of brave stories about the battlefield that we could talk about. But primarily what I want us to see today is the importance of that you and I, even though we may never pick up a gun or we may never go to another place to fight a war, there's still some battles that you and I face and that we have to have courage to stare them down to be able to walk in victory that God has given us. The next passage I want to look at briefly is 1 Samuel 17:48, and it's talking about David. David was just a little kid, and it says it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to David, that David ran quickly towards the battle to meet the Philistine. Most of you know the story about David. He was the youngest in the family. His brothers were off at war, but they're all kind of scared because Goliath was over here, and he was taunting the nations of Israel. Both groups were kind of separated, and kind of there was a battlefield out in the middle, and nobody would go out and fight. You know, the Philistines, they wanted Goliath to do it. I mean, duh. He's about 9 foot tall. Yeah, we're going to send our best guy out. Well, then nobody else would go out on the Israel side. Well, David showed up. He was taking some food to his brothers. And all of a sudden, he didn't like the fact that all these people that were supposed to be warriors were out here hiding behind stuff. And nobody was sticking up for God, because Goliath was taunting the living God. And so David took it personally. And so that little, some say around 14 years old, went out, got a few stones, and a little, had his slingshot with him, and he charged the giant. I don't know about you, that takes courage. Now he had a little bit of experience killing a lion, a bear. I'm going to tell you that probably helped a little bit. But still, if you run at your problem, and you chase, you go right at it head on. And see, that's what David had to do to be able to walk in that kind of courage. He could have hid like everybody else. Saul wanted to give him his armor, but David said, this don't fit me. I mean, here David's a little feller, and Saul was one of the tallest men in Israel. And so David had to do it his way. And, you know, we all have our different ways that we do things, but we all can have the same thing, and that's to be able to tap in that courage. Because courage is running in when others run out. And when everybody was telling him, oh, David, Goliath is too big for you, David would just say, he's too big for me to miss. I mean, the bigger the target, the easier it is to hit, right? You know, I could easily hit a barn easier than I can hit a baseball with a rifle. You know, it's a bigger target, and that's how David looked at it, and he knew how big his God was. And see, that's what you and I need to look at, is that our faith will grow when we understand God's faithfulness. As we go through life, and see, here's what happens. We go through life and we're kind of oblivious to the workings of God around us because we don't pay attention and we don't give him the credit for what he does. So then when battles come, we kind of feel like we're out there alone. But see, if we would be the kind of people, the godly people that are going through life and looking for God that's working in our life in all situations and all circumstances, see, that grows our faith because we start to see God's faithfulness. And when we see God's faithfulness, it's easier to get out of the boat like Peter did. You know what I'm saying? You know, Peter knew Jesus, and he had witnessed Jesus doing some things that were beyond his own reasoning. So it was easy for him to step out of that boat. And I want to tell you, as you go through life, pay attention to God. Pay attention to God, what he's doing in your life. Give God the credit. Give God the glory. Because as we do that, we're going to grow in our faith. Because I'll tell you what, people, it's all safe in here for the most part, right? Maybe I step on toes every now and then. I step on my own toes. But, you know, but when we go out there, that's where we need it. You know, because the devil, he's going to attack us. And he's trying to get in our mind and get in our heart and make us shrink back. And that's why we need to know God's faithfulness. That God did this, like David said, hey, God helped me kill a lion, God helped me kill a bear, I can surely handle this giant. I've already seen God do stuff. And see, that's what we need to see in our life. What God's done in our life, and now what God's going to do. Because God's not done yet. Last point I want to look at today is you, me, or we. You, me, or we. See, it's not just our ability, but it's the ability that's inside of you, and that's what we have to remember. In the Old Testament, I don't want to go into this too deep, but you know, Joshua and David, the Spirit of God didn't really technically reside inside of them. It would come upon them for special situations. But you and I, as a born-again Christian, I hope you're born again today. If not, we'll fix that here in a minute. But being born again, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. So all of a sudden, if we're sharp enough and we pay attention good enough, you know, we can start to see and start to allow God to start working through us in situations and circumstances where we can develop ourselves to be that go-to person that people need. See, God has our back. Remember, I talked about the military. You know, the military, when they're out there, and that's one thing that I admire is the fact that, you know, the idea that most of the military, when they develop that brotherhood that they have, that the church should have, but we don't have it all the time, do we? But they know that the person on the left of them and the person on the right of them has their back. They know that when they go into battle, they can count on the person beside them. And they know they're going to be there for them. And we need to tell each other, I'm going to be there for you, and you're going to be there for me. Because with that, that'll help us to have courage so that we can face some of these things that people have to go through. Some people are battling serious illnesses in their bodies and things, and they're afraid, and they need to lean on us and, you know, the different things that's going on, maybe a job loss, whatever the situation is, maybe a marital situation. You know, it takes courage to deal with some of these things. So what is really holding us back from fulfilling our calling that God has? You know, the Bible says that all are called, but few are chosen. Right? It says that. Everybody's called, but few are chosen. I believe it's the ones who have courage, because it's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay to stay afraid. Now, I want to mention just a couple non-military heroes, although they're kind of like that. You know, remember on 9/11, you know, the towers. I mean, I remember a story. I don't remember the name of the guy. But anyway, he was a firefighter, and he was going home, and he was a ways away, and I think he was in one of the tunnels. And now they have a tunnel to the tower race to honor him. But he was on his way home. He was done with his shift. He could have went home and played it safe. But then he heard about what was going on. He looked back and he'd probably see the towers, and they were hit. He pulled his truck over, he had his gear with him, and he ran back to the towers. See, everybody else was running out of the towers. They were running out to get away, but he wanted to go help his brothers, other firefighters and other policemen. And he ran, I don't know, it was quite a ways. He ran there with like 40, 50 pounds of weight strapped to his back, ran into the towers, and he never came out. That's a hero. That's courage. That's going in. And just recently, you know, several years ago, there was an issue in Texas, you know. There was a lot of protesters down there, and they were hating the police. And they were down there protesting how evil the police is and how bad they are. And so the police were there, and they were just kind of peacekeeping a little bit, making sure nothing serious happened. So these people were throwing stuff at them a little bit and spitting at them and, you know, doing all this kind of terrible, disrespectful things. All of a sudden, gunfire. There was a gunman. He started shooting the protesters. The police ran in and faced that guy while the protesters, the ones that were hating them, they gave their lives, many of them, to save the ones that were hating them. That's a hero. That's somebody that looks beyond the natural. Anybody could have turned their back and waited and hid behind something. But see, it takes courage to step out from the crowd, because courage is running in when others run out. And that's what we have to have sometime. Have we run out on God? Have we run out on people in our life instead of having courage to help them to face their problems? Those are things that we need to settle in our heart, because God can help us through all these things. You don't have to go to war to have courage. You don't have to be a fireman or a policeman to have courage. You know, we can have courage. Sometimes it's just ordinary people doing extraordinary things. You know, sometimes we go to the battle, but sometimes the battle comes to us. Either way, we need to lean on God And we need to have the courage to run in when others run out.